This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Scott Hurst. Scott is the president and CEO of Patient Physician Network. He's a great leader, terrific person. We'll talk about leadership, his journey of leadership, top priorities, and more. Scott, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Absolutely. I'm honored to be here, and I appreciate the invitation. Well, as you said, my name is Scott Hurst. I am an executive in the Dallas, Texas market, I suppose. Our company is based in Plano, Texas, but we are a independent physician association, an IPA, with roughly 650 members lined up around quality, cost reduction, and patient experience as it relates to physician practice operations. Been here just over 90 days now.
Well, fantastic. And how did you get into the world of IPAs? And talk about your journey to where you're at today.
Sure. You know, coming out of college, I think it would have been remarkable to think about where I'm at today versus where I was. When I first came out of school, I had every intention of working in collegiate or professional athletics in some form or capacity. And my first job in Dallas in 1997 was actually with SMU, Southern Methodist University, working in the athletic department. And then that morphed into a role with a sports management company here in town, managing a grassroots marketing campaign for the National Hockey League, where I traveled all over the country running youth and amateur hockey tournaments and fan festivals for 2 years. But ultimately, as things go in life, you meet people, you start to build a family, and you decide that it's time to maybe join the real world, if you will. So I spent 10 years on the physician recruitment side of healthcare, working for some of the biggest players in the business, including Merritt Hawkins and Delta Physician Placement. And my last stop was with an outfit called Goldfish Partners. Somewhere in there towards the end of that 10-year run, I decided that I was better suited and more called to work on the provider side of healthcare. And so I was afforded an opportunity to work for Christus Health for a couple of years down in Corpus Christi, Texas. And then ultimately found my way back to Dallas. And the first time I was exposed to kind of what I would call IPA operations, or really understanding the importance of contracting as it relates to our independent physicians, was at Children's Health here in Dallas, Texas. It's either the sixth or seventh largest pediatric health system in the country. And they had made a decision to build a clinically integrated network of pediatricians and pediatric specialists. And I was afforded the opportunity to come in and be the primary force behind building that and standing it up. And we took that from roughly 40 doctors to 360 physicians, again, lined up around the tenets of clinical integration, and really, really enjoyed that experience, that process. Ultimately, upon leaving there, kind of ended up in a couple of different avenues as it relates to contracting and understanding physician spend. But one of the physician leaders that I worked with at Children's was also a physician leader in Patient Physician Network, or PPN, we call it for short. And he reached out to me upon the announced retirement of the former CEO and had said he'd put my name in the hat as the new CEO of PPN. And I was like, oh, that's awfully nice of you. I appreciate the vote of confidence. And, you know, that ultimately morphed into a number of conversations, but ultimately it was given the opportunity to come in and take over leadership of the organization. It's been fabulous.
Well, congratulations. Let me ask you a couple of follow-up questions. You had mentioned working in hockey at one point, and, mm-hmm. and so who is easier to manage, hockey players or doctors?
You know, I would tell you probably the best comparative, well, I don't want to get in trouble here. You know, hockey players were easy because most of the time nobody even knows who plays hockey and who doesn't. The parents of the hockey players were probably the most challenging dynamic of those youth and amateur tournaments because somehow they always believed that I was out to ruin their child's future NHL career. And that really wasn't my concern at any given time. I have always found doctors to be, doctors to be really pragmatic. I've enjoyed dealing with doctors over the years because they, you know, they believe in data. They believe in what you can show them as it relates to proof and concept and routine, if you will. And if you approach it with understanding where they come from, then you can have a lot of success in your dealings with physicians.
In the appearance of the physicians, by the time you get to work with the physicians, they may have very proud parents, but they're probably not talking to you about how much ice time they get and when they get on the schedule and what contract they get. You probably don't have to deal with the physician's parents very much.
No, I certainly don't. But it would be interesting. Absolutely.
Right. Very different than the hockey parents. I'll ask you one of the sports questions because you mentioned SMU. So I guess the great question you have to say is Earl Campbell, Eric Dickerson, Tony Dorsett, who's the great running back that played and spent part of their career in Texas? Who's the best of those three?
I would say the best of any of the running backs who spent their time in Texas was Emmitt Smith. But you could make the case that, Eric Dickerson was part of the Pony Express way back when with Craig James. So, you know, there's a lot of great running backs that have come out of Texas.
No, absolutely. That's so funny. Emmitt Smith didn't immediately come to mind, but you're probably right. He's probably the top of that list. So talk about the business today, and what do you think, look at is the next 6 to 12 months? We've been through this crazy period of time of COVID. It's still obviously hopping and very busy in Texas with COVID. What do your priorities look like the next 6 to 12 months? Give us a sense of those.
You know, it's an interesting question because if you would have asked me this 6 months ago and if I'd known I was coming into this venue, I may have had different priorities than I do today. Clearly, I think number one is just to work with our physicians to protect kind of their ability to continue to be impactful and important in the space of providing healthcare. You know, I had written down a few things really – you know, that I had identified with my board as part of my initial 90 days of talking about what was going to be important in my mind to focus on. One of the biggest for me is engaging our specialists in the process of value-based care. I think it's really easy to get primary care doctors kind of tied into value-based care precepts, concepts, quality measures, metrics, reporting, all of those types of things, because a lot of that stuff ties into what primary care doctors do day in and day out. It's been much more difficult to find sort of a unilateral or a universal quality measure that applies to all specialists. And so when you start talking about a group like ours, which has over 400 specialists in it, and finding some way to get them all linked into value-based care, it becomes a rather complex initiative. So that's a priority. You know, Texas has grown tremendously in the last 20 plus years that I've been here, and I don't think it's going to stop growing. But growing the network and finding new ways to engage doctors who haven't participated in things like IPAs in the past is going to be really important. And then last but not least, just raising our profile, I think, in the business community and with physicians both. But I really do believe that a lot of healthcare change is going to be driven by the employers, because there's a significant number of employers in this market who function as self-insured entities and just use the payers as TPAs. And when that's the case, I think it becomes really, really important to educate those employers about what value-based care means for them in the long run, because we've heard people say that the employers don't understand why they've generated all the savings, but they don't get to see all of it, you know, and it's because some of those dollars are coming back to the doctors for performance in the programs. And if they don't understand why that helps them in the long run, then that's on guys like me and my board of directors to get out there and make the rounds and really explain it and really teach kind of the importance of what we're doing and why we're doing it.
Certainly. And Scott, you've had a great leadership career. You're CEO and president now of the organization you run. Give us two or three of your thoughts. If you were to advise somebody younger on leadership and what they should know about leadership, what they should be doing, give us two or three thoughts about leadership that you'd like to share.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I think first and foremost, you've got to always strive to be a good listener. And there's a lot of challenges to being a good listener nowadays, not the least of which being too many people spend too much time looking at that thing in their hand, you know, their phone. But active listening, I think, is really important, and being willing to kind of listen to where people are coming from. Again, getting back to my idea of dealing with physicians, that if you can put yourself in their shoes, you can better approach your dealings with them. I think you've got to be authentic. There is a deficit of authenticity at times in today's society. And so if you can be truly authentic all the time, you're going to separate yourself from the crowd. You've got to give respect to get the trust from your teams. The old days of kind of categorically throwing down orders and expecting things to get done, I think are well past. And so, especially as you've got four generations in the workforce, you know, younger workers have a certain perception about what they're asked to do, why they're asked to do it, when they're asked to do it. And you better be prepared to operate in that space. And then I'd toss in a fourth, probably just as a bonus, you know, be aware of what you don't know. There's plenty of times where I am coming into a situation where I don't understand the breadth and depth of the entire situation, but I'm freely, or I have no issue admitting that and seeking out better understanding of things so that we can find a mutually agreeable space to land in.
Well, fantastic. And we wish you great luck in this role. You've been a terrific leader your entire career, and it's great to get a chance to visit with you today. Scott, just a pleasure visiting with you, and thank you for sharing your thoughts with us at Becker's Healthcare today. Thank you very much.
Thank you.